In tandem with Women's History Month, a new exhibit in Lansing celebrates a unique group of military veterans. Founded in 1947, Post 535 in Lansing is the last all-female American Legion post in the state of Michigan. It was founded by female World War II veterans, but it also includes women who have served in more recent conflicts. Current State's Kevin Lavery joins me now. You've really got the military theme going on today, Kevin.
I do, and I'm happy to do it, Melissa. I went to the Michigan Women's Historical Center and Hall of Fame to learn more about American Legion Post 535. The executive director, Emily Fiegel, was putting some finishing touches on the display, and she told me that Post 535 is a truly unique organization with a catchy nickname, Nuareen.
And it comes from the different branches of service that the founding members of the post had. So it represents the new is from nurses, Army and Navy, waves, wax, spars, and Marines. So they formed that Nuareen title to be the sort of honorary nickname of their post.
Spar, I've never heard that term before.
Spar was the women's reserve group of the U.S. Coast Guard. And their motto was always ready. And they later became an actual part integrated with the Coast Guard.
SPARS, women members of the Coast Guard, complete concentrated courses to qualify as radio operators. They march in review at graduation exercises at Atlantic City, New Jersey.
So the American Legion Post 535 here in Lansing was the first and to this day remains the only all-female American Legion post in Michigan.
That's correct. It was founded by veterans of World War II, and actually one charter member was a veteran of World War I, and their members span every major military period of engagement all the way up to today.
Let's go take a look, Emily, at some of the placards in this room over here. This one seems to be very central to the display, which talks about Post 535. Did you have the chance to speak personally with any of these women who are still members of the post?
Yes. I mean, that was essential, actually, for the exhibit's creation. The members of the post themselves had to be very involved. So we had a few representatives from the post, including the post commander, that were really integral and really did the footwork to make this happen. And then secondarily, we did a lot of interviewing. We provided a questionnaire to all of the post members that had the option to participate, and they got to choose sort of what part of their story they wanted to share. And we picked out highlights from what they shared to give in the exhibit. And what I really enjoy is that they have their own personal photographs that sort of bring to life their story. So it's really interesting to see, you know, contemporary pictures of what the people look like today. But I love when you get to compare what they look like in uniform during their time in service, or what it would look like for women to be doing PT training, or just the various uniforms. You know, that in itself could have been its own history exhibit. We also have personal artifacts from the different post members that, again, really humanizes and shows these women not just as representatives of branches of the military, but as individual people that were doing something pretty unusual for women, especially early on.
We're talking with Emily Fiegel, the executive director of the Michigan Women's Historical Center and Hall of Fame in Lansing. And we're talking about Post 535 of the American Legion, the last remaining all-female American Legion veterans post in Michigan. Behind us on the wall over here are the names of some women. Here's one from 1861, Sarah Emma Edmonds.
Yep, she disguised herself as Franklin Thompson and enlisted out of Flint, and had really a remarkable story during the Civil War. She was what we would call a secret soldier. I've seen estimates anywhere from 400 to 1,000 women disguise themselves actually as men during the Civil War to enlist and be part of the action. But her story is really remarkable, full of adventure, spy work as well on Confederate camps. There's some debate by historians as to the veracity of some of her stories, but it doesn't diminish her accomplishments in any way. She still was doing remarkable things for a woman in her time.
Was she ever found out?
Well, that is a little bit of a mystery. Some of the accounts are that she deserted. She got ill. Other accounts are that she fell in love with a fellow soldier and deserted again before she was discovered. She did, following the conclusion of the Civil War, reveal herself to her fellow soldiers as a woman, and they did recognize her as Franklin Thompson, and she successfully actually petitioned Congress for a veteran's pension, which was, again, really remarkable for a woman.
especially 150 years ago.
Definitely.
In World War II, women were suddenly thrust into a world that belonged to men for centuries. When you were speaking with some of these ladies from the New Orleans Post, did they tell you about how they adapted?
I would have to say that they overwhelmingly had very positive experiences. I think some of it was the era of what the military was asking women to do, and it matched up well with what was sort of traditional expectations of women, perhaps pushing the envelope a little bit. They were doing more white-collar jobs, clerical-type things, transport-type things, definitely away from any major combat action in general. And so I think that they had very positive experiences because this was new and exciting. I think one of them, maybe her quote was best when she was trying to describe how she would encourage other women, was that, you know, if you're looking for facials and manicures, you're not going to find it here, but if you're willing to do hard work, be told what to do, follow orders, that sort of thing, then this is just for you. But they got real experience that they really wouldn't have gotten through another venue. If we think about the positions that were really available to women at the time, you could be teacher, maybe some sort of domestic help, a nun, a nurse. And so not only were they doing those types of things, but they got to expand their sphere a bit more. And so I think it was probably a really exciting time. And some of them got to travel internationally, which they wouldn't have had the opportunity to do either.
In Italy, the largest contingent of army women, WACS, ever to arrive in this theater. They perform many duties in supply, communications, maintenance, and other branches of the army.
Emily, is there something in this room, in this exhibit, that you're especially fond of that you can show me?
I think my personal favorites are the individual plaques for the women, because no two stories are identical, no two experiences are identical, even if they were serving during the same period of engagement. And then I love that you can take each individual plaque and you can compare it to a woman's service from a different period. I mean, sometimes it's the anecdotal differences that really stood out to me. For example, when we were in the early planning phases for this exhibit, speaking with members of New Orleans, we had members that represented Vietnam, the Gulf War, the War on Terror, I think, you know, sort of the more recent engagements, actually. And just hearing them talk about what their personal experiences were, things like how was it to stay in contact with folks at home? I mean, the ability of communication varied so dramatically. And some of them admitted, you know, you just had to give up the idea that you could be engaged with what was going on at home when you were abroad, because that was just not possible. And you would make yourself crazy if you're trying to be present in two places without being able to do that. So there were just so many really remarkable, deeply personal stories that came out that I really enjoyed learning about.
Emily Fiegel is the executive director of the Michigan Women's Historical Center and Hall of Fame. We are talking about the new exhibit, New Orleans, which is an acronym describing the different branches where women served during World War II. The American Legion Post 535 in Lansing. It is the last all-female American Legion post in the state of Michigan. Fascinating topic, Emily. Thanks for spending some time.
Thank you so much.
For Current State, I'm Kevin Lavery.